Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Today on The Grave Talks, Demons of Earth, a conversation with Plato Angelakis. Things get demonically bad. Plato Angelakis is commonly called upon for help. Frequently, people who come under demonic possession or oppression have no idea what they are dealing with. Sometimes it can be diabolical. Life can sometimes feel like a string of bad luck. Sickness, sadness, events that go beyond mental health issues or bad choices is what we're talking about. Sometimes something demonic is homed in on a human soul that is determined to destroy their lives. How does this all start, and how does one escape this never-ending nightmare? That's what we talk about today with exorcist Plato Angelakis.
Everything always escalates if left unattended to, and certainly, you know, no one goes out into a full-blown possession, or what people might call a perfect possession, where where really outright you just basically just say, well, I'm just going to give myself to the devil. I'm just going to, you know, go right out and do this. And this is what I really, want. Where in those particular cases, they don't want help. They made a conscious decision to do whatever they wanted to do and sort of live their lives in a certain way and invite certain things to sort of participate in their life in that manner for whatever reason. And that's free will, right? So, but everything other than that will always lead up from something very small. And it could just be just a curiosity. And, many of those things are like paranormal investigators or teams that go in and decide, well, you know, got a call from a client. There's some activity going on, and the activity may not be a lot. It may be sometimes those activities are just more of an annoyance or a nuisance. Sometimes the clients they don't mind. They go, there's a ghost in the house. He's kind of okay. He doesn't kind of bother us. We just know he's there. Mm-hmm. In other cases, people don't want it, and they just find it to be a nuisance, and so they want to get rid of it. Well, then what happens is they go in and call us. Paranormal team, and of course they come in, they set up their cameras, you know, this is great, with flashlights, all the meters, all the readings, all the gadgets, spirit boxes, you name it, everything gets involved, and off they go. And that's where I find most of the stuff starts to escalate. Okay. Because you kind of like kick the hornet's nest, and just one fly here, one hornet here, one whatever, flying around and just a little bit of an annoyance. Now you've kicked the hornet's nest. You're starting to ask questions. You're starting to be inquisitive and start to stir them up a little bit, if I say that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, what happens is, this has been a great night. We've had some activity. Wonderful. Thanks very much. And goodbye. And out the door they go. And then the client calls back and says, well, things have gotten worse since you've been here. Mm-hmm. So that's one way of seeing escalations occur is, you've gotten in there and you've gotten things rolling. And sometimes people just need to leave things alone and just nip it in the butt right off the bat. Say, okay, you've got something going on here. Then, let's pray it away. Let's pray it. That's all, you're not welcomed here. You can set boundaries. This is a very, very low level. This is very initial level. Okay, there's something going on in the house. It could be even demonic or the start of something. And you can just say, you're not welcome here. Get the holy water out, throw some prayers in, pray together. Most of the time, almost 100% of the time, it's going to go away, or it's just going to say, okay, we're not welcome here. We don't have the consent. Like I said in some other interviews I've done in the past, maybe with you, consent is primary in what happens here. So when you give consent, they can cross over the threshold. You got to remember, we're knocking on their door. We're knocking on their spirit door. If it's a demonic world, God cast them out there. Mm-hmm. Because of their falling, all the fallen angels. They've got their own realm. We all call it what you like, but it's like a lower heaven in a sense. They're like it's still a spirit world. It's a bit above us, but it's not quite obviously as high as where heaven would be. So when we go in and we start knocking on things and being inquisitive, asking questions, and who are you? Where do you come from? And touch my shoulder and make this thing move or make this flashlight lit up or whatever. And you start asking questions, where'd you come from? And those sorts of things. We start to open the door in a way. We start giving them consent. One thing that we're taught is exorcist. Is we don't, we ask for their demon. We'll ask for his name or its name. And that gives us power over it. Having the name gives us the power over it. But likewise, if we know the name and we start to, we're also told not to mention the name. If you know the name, not to mention it on any circumstances, because you're basically invoking it. You start calling out the name, and I'm not going to name any names because we're not
sure.
I'm
going to
do right now.
Yeah,
but if you know a demon's name and you start, calling it, randomly, in a way, you're giving it kind of that indirect consent. Oh, well, you're calling my name, so I'm going to come. And then this is where the sort of things get started. So, we got to be really careful and like I said, what we say, how we say it, and those sorts of things, because we can really indirectly give consent, and that's where they're allowed to kind of over the threshold. So they're not allowed to cross over to our realm, literally, and we're not allowed to. We're not really. We were told in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in the Bible, we're not supposed to actually get involved and try to entice them on their realm. We got to kind of stay on our side of the border, kind of thing. We say things. They're waiting for us to give consent. Once we give consent, and in any form that I may be, they start crossing over, and it starts with, you know, it could be an attachment, it could be whatever. You've called me, I'm here, okay, I'm going to be nipping at your ear, you know, and then hoping that things will escalate. And this is what, and they're patient, right? They're spirit world, you know, for them, you know, a day for us is probably 1,000 years for them, so they don't care, you know, we got all the time in the world. But for us, you know, we have other things that go on, and we want to get involved. We're very inquisitive, mm-hmm. you know. And if you read the book of Ephesians, it's actually quite remarkable. If you really look at it from a perspective of, sort of like a handbook for clergy, handbook for even for lay people. Ephesians in a nutshell says, I don't want you dabbling in the spirit world, period. That's what God wants. Just, mm-hmm. No, don't dabble. It's not your realm. You know, that's, I mean, don't want you doing that. But then, you know, further on into the chapter, it starts talking about, well, if you're going to dabble, you know, mm-hmm. know that you're not dealing with, you know, flesh and blood. You're dealing with spirit. Mm-hmm. And they don't play in the same rules that we play. They got a whole new playbook, right, than we do. So, That's the next part of the chapter. And then it goes on. But if you're going to do this, make sure you have, you know, your protection, your helmet of salvation, your all those things that they talked about. Basically, it amounts to basically being a good moral character, being spiritually prepared, prayer life, having your mind clear, not having anything. If you're going to dabble with this thing for some whatever reason, so obviously God or you know, whoever wrote the Ephesians knew that we as human beings would be dabbling into this thing at some point, or at least being inquisitive. And so it's saying, you know, don't want you doing it, but if you're going to do it, you know, remember what you're dealing with. You're knocking on spirit world. You can very well be knocking on Satan's door, mm-hmm. and he's going to answer. You know, that's plain and simple, you know. And, you know, this is what you really want. Well, you know, good luck to you. And if you're going to start doing things like that, make sure that you're going in with sort of that, the prayer, the morality, that sort of good living, moral life. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not, then they will capture that and they will utilize that on you, and they'll look at your weaknesses, they'll look at your temptations and things, and then all of a sudden you have like a, and that's where it leads to the first thing of the temptations, and of course, then you give consent to that, and of course, you know, being sinful, and doing those sorts of things. And then all of a sudden they find windows of opportunity to jump on board. Mm-hmm. And then this is where all of a sudden you have an attachment. And that's why a lot of paranormal teams, when they leave a place, they may leave the homeowner or the client, perhaps in a worse state than when they found them, because now they've kicked the hornet's nest. But likewise, these people are on their way home, and all of a sudden, you know, they start finding they have activity in their own house when they get home, mm-hmm. as an investigator, and they might wonder, well, what's going on. Well, I've got an attachment. Yeah, you probably do, because you know you've been there and you just brought something home with you. And then, of course, that spreads. Look at it as a virus in a sense, right? You've exposed yourself to something, and now you've got the virus. You're bringing it home. So yeah, at the lowest level, at the very minute level, this is where it starts. And then if it's not dealt with. And of course, myself, you know, being clergy and others who are well trained, well prepared before they go into an investigation, get the whole team, do a prayer together, spread some holy water, oil on each other, those sorts of things, and then do the same when they leave, mm-hmm. and when they get home, I mean, I take salt baths, you know, I run a bath with holy oil and with a regular bath sort of thing, mm-hmm. and I put holy oil, exorcism salt, holy water, and then I'll lie in the bath, and then I literally have seen the bath with the water turn like gray to dark,
Really?
Dark. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like you said, well, there's no way I could be that dirty, you know? I wasn't playing out in the mud, you know? But yeah, you'll start seeing that the water turn very dark, actually. And then, you know, you get up, you feel, oh, my God, I feel so much better, so much lighter. And then the water goes down the drain and you shower and you get out. 15, 20 minutes. I do this often. I recommend it to many people who have attachments. I've melded the oil and the salt because it's exorcism salt. It's not blessed salt. It's exorcism salt. Literally holy oil. They don't use baptisms and anointing for clergy. Like this is holy oil from the church. Like being a bishop, I can anoint my own oil. So this is what I sent them. You know, I sent them a little bottle of sort of Dollar General, you know, that, like, you know, oil, nothing expensive, you know, and then I sent them a bottle of that. And I tell them to go to the local church because I can't mail open water. So that's just go and to your local Catholic church and get holy water. Because it's always free, you know. You just bring your bottle and fill up and go, and then also a box of salt. Again, very inexpensive, and it can be multiplied. You take the salt, get down to the very, you know, get halfway down to the box, you can actually add more salt to the box. Next you know, the box is it's all considered the same. It's like the multiplying of the fish and bones that Jesus did. We can do that likewise. Same with oil. You get down to the very little bit left holy oil left. I mean, that should last you forever, honestly. You know, you get a big bottle of oil. And you just go out and buy another bottle of olive oil and put that oil, and the whole bottle becomes holy. So it multiplies because you're adding to something that's already holy. It all becomes holy.
Wow.
Those are gifts. From the divine. And we can do those things. And so, I mean, I could send you something that could last forever, literally. That's a free gift, you know, from heaven. So if you have the tools and you have those spiritual protective things and sacramentals, and there's a crucifix, you know, everyone on the team is wearing a crucifix, everybody is saying the St. Michael prayer, exorcism prayer before they go in, everybody's sort of, and of course an entire team is going in to investigate. I make sure that all of the members of the team are like, okay, everything okay, you're not fighting with your spouse at home, you're not like having problems at work, maybe you got some financial things going on, maybe something's really bothering you. You've got an ongoing problem, maybe one of your kids is in trouble at school or maybe drugs or something. And then I always recommend they don't go into the investigation. Don't walk into a situation where you want to go in again. That's all part of the book of Ephesians when I talk about having that morality and having that sort of a spiritual, I don't know what's the best word. I mean, you're in good moral spirits. Like, you're praying. Maybe you fast before the night. You want to do a little fasting. Maybe pray it's a rosary or some other prayers. It doesn't have to be Catholic. And you feel good. You know, you're feeling good because you've done your own preparatory work spiritually to make yourself ready. So like sometimes, you know, if I'm not ready, I'll say I'm not going in today. We're going to go in when I'm ready. I might need another day of fasting myself, especially if I feel like, you know, it's going to be one of those cases where I need to be at my best, you know? And so I will prepare myself. Literally, I will prepare myself. Fasting, salt bath, prayer, make sure I got all my sacraments with me, make sure the team has sacraments. They all have crucifixes with the little ones in their pocket, whatever it takes to protect the entire team. But, you know, one weak link in the chain can ruin it for the whole team. If you got someone who's not really there, you know, they shouldn't be there. I've brought in people into an investigation and I've had, you know, someone who's been afflicted and you know, perhaps has some demonic oppression. We'll look at the individuals and say, well, what are you doing here? I mentioned this before, I'm not sure. You know, one of the stories, I brought a woman and a man with me because they were very inquisitive about an investigation. And as soon as we walk in, you know, the person is sitting in the chair being ready to be exercised. We'll look at the man and say, you know, does your wife know you're cheating on you? You're cheating on her. And looks at the woman and says, you know, does your boss know you're stealing money from the company? They run right out. Like, they're like, wow. Because that's one of the signs of demonic oppression or demonic, you know, infestation or even possession, full out possession, is the knowledge of the unknown. That's one way of knowing that you've got an actual demonic entity you're dealing with is they have multiple languages. I mean, you'll see this in the movies and you can read about it as well. multiple languages they speak that they normally, you know, they wouldn't be able to speak. You know? Mm-hmm. Someone who's never can speak Italian or something, a Greek that they're not Italian Greek.
Sure.
Spanish. But yeah, that sort of thing. And then you also have, you know, extreme powers of strength. You know, I've mm-hmm. had like a 60-year-old woman, you know, throw me across the room and a few other guys to boot. So, yeah. You know, strength that you normally wouldn't have, you know. And of course, another one is knowledge of the unknown. And this is where they will come out and say, you know, I know something about you and that no one else knows. And boom, you know, I'm going to spill it. And you know, sometimes it's a little embarrassing for them because, you know, so you got to be really careful because they know. And they will use your weaknesses and the things that you fear against you. And you know, this is a fight. You're going into an exorcism. It's a battle. That's a fight.
Yeah.
You're not going to go untrained, right? You're not going to go into a boxing match with Muhammad Ali or you know, you know, and say, well, you know, yeah, this is going to be a piece of cake. Let's jump around a little bit, you know, and get at least through one round to make money. Oh, no, you know, you're not prepared. You're going to get knocked out. So, it all starts with that very small, very minute sort of, you know, whatever you're doing. And it's very innocent at first.
Sure.
And then it can really be cultivated.
That has to be a very interesting and compelling moment, especially the first times that you had seen it, where someone has that knowledge of the unknown, whether it be another language or mm-hmm. or making accusations out there that are in fact accurate. Tell me about some of the experiences that you've had personally and some of the things you've heard, and then how did it affect people around them when these things are thrown out there like that?
Yeah. Well, obviously they're all surprised because I think a lot of people want to get involved. They think it's great. They watch this stuff on TV and it's all romanticized. And they go, oh, this is wonderful. I get to go see an actual exorcism. You know, for the most part, it's not that exciting. You know, you normally, if it's done right, you can nip it in the bud and you can say, you know, I've told spirits or demonic entities to be silent, you know, and, you know, Jesus commands you to be silent. I don't want to hear anything come from your mouth. And that's sort of my way of binding them so that they don't with words. But I mean, they've come out, I've heard people come out and say, you know, I, your mom is really, you know, someone who just lost their mom, for example, again, you know, I don't know what their life is. So they come out, they want to help out. And I do need help. I mean, I don't put people in harm's way, but people who do want to get involved, I do have to use people. It's very hard to do an exorcism sometimes on your own. You can have two or three clergy and, you know, and help each other. And I do have a lot of people who are on teams that will, one will be there to help spread the oil around the house, around the window, around the baseboards of the window, or, you know, help with spread the salt and the oil and the water as I'm going around. Because I only got two hands. I got to carry my ritual book. You know, I'm swinging the incense around, and you know, I need someone to follow around me and do these things. So as this is going on, you know, whatever might be there, sitting in the chair or in the house or whatever, saying, you know, we'll start saying things. And some of the examples like you're asking for is like someone who's lost their mom, and you know, all of a sudden, out of the blue, out of the mouth of babe, so to speak, you know, your mom's in hell. Man. She didn't make it to heaven, and you know that sort of thing. And it's like, well, first of all, you know, they get freaked out. Because it's like, well, how did you know my mother died? First of all, I didn't tell her, and then just the fact that they're liars, you know, I know a demonic thing would be is a liar, and well, it may not very well be that she's in hell; she's in, you know, heaven or some other place, and some other good place, but it's just throwing this one person off. Because all of a sudden, you know, they're thinking, oh, my mother's in hell. Oh, my God, mm-hmm. how'd she get there? She used to pray, and this was great. She was a good woman, and she was blah, 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 blah. And right off the bat, you know, it's an ongoing battle. It's that thing is just throwing this woman off. And now she's pretty much useless to me because now she's going in with her mind all, like, you know, confused and, you know, upset, starts crying. And it's like, you know, I said, well, you know, it's time for you to kind of get out of the scenario and get you out of the picture. And I tell her, like, don't believe everything you hear because it's, you know, most of the time it's lies, especially if it's demonic. But this is what they do. They might pick on, you know, you're never going to meet that guy. I've heard that, you know, or the love of your life, someone who's single, you know, and mm-hmm. because it knows what you're thinking. It knows that this is bothering you.
Sure.
You know, it knows that this is an issue for you. You may be trying to find, you know, Mr. Right or something, or sometimes it's just little things, but it's enough to throw them off. It's enough to say, you know, I know this is bothering you, or your kids will never get out of drugs. I've heard that. I've heard, you know, and so as I say, you know, are you sure you want to come into this? Because you coming into this, you do not listen to what it says. Ignore what it says, you know. And actually, you know, in the 1975 movie, The Exorcist, you know, the original,
sure.
With Linda Blair and all that, most exorcists will tell you, even the father of Morth, who was recently passed away last year, or earlier this year, I think it was, he was the Pope's number one exorcist. And he did thousands and thousands a year, small ones, large ones, you know. And he even said himself, he said, the 1975 movie is probably the movie closest to what really happens at an exorcist, or at least you're going to see some part of that. I mean, in that movie, you saw everything. You saw the limitation, you saw the vomiting, you saw the eye, you saw the strength, you saw the voices, you heard the languages. I mean, other than the spin of the head, which I think that was over the top, pretty much everything else, you might see maybe one of those things mm-hmm. or two at a really, really bad exorcism, like a really bad case.
Sure.
You won't see it all. If you do, oh my God, like it would be like, you know, calling the army a priest because, you know, but that's what you will see. Or you see some remnants of that or some very minor forms. I have seen limitations. I have seen eyes roll back in the eye, you know, the eyes roll right back to the whites of the eyes where you couldn't do that if you tried. I've seen languages that are so like articulate that there's no way, even if you studied Italian a half an hour before we arrived, you couldn't get the dialect at that, you know, that sort of, you know, that clarity. So little things like that, but it's just picking on the people that are the weakest.
Sure.
That is why when I do exorcisms, I work my way from the out in, and that way I don't allow anything to leave the house. Where a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to open the windows, I'm going to do a cleansing, you know, we're going to do a sage or whatever, and open the windows, I want it to go out. Yeah, well, that's great. It's going to go out, but it's still intact. It's just going to end up down the road to the next weak person mm-hmm. or the next inviting person. I don't work that way. I work my way from the out in. That way, everything, you know, gets moved in to the point where I've got it all, you know, I've got it taken care of. And it's not going anywhere, but back to its realm, to wherever it came from. And if you can't destroy it, God didn't destroy it. God cast it out. All mm-hmm. I can do is, any earthbound spirits that I've left behind, I move them forward. Anything that might be of demonic nature, I say just go back to where you came from, you know, so to speak. And normally, in most cases, like almost 100% of the time, it's gone. It's not like the movies where the devil comes back, mm-hmm. a sequel part two, you know, oh, revenge, blah, 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 blah. It's you know, usually, you know, like, you know, God commands you, Christ commands you. It is not I command you, but it's God, the Father commands you, Holy Ghost commands you. You pretty much, you gotta have to kind of go.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, there is no debate there. Hollywood obviously will make that look different, but there's no debate. You know, you've suppressed it, it's gone, it has to leave. Especially if everybody's on board and everybody's consented to this. And that's why it's very important. Even the person who is afflicted has to give me full consent. You want this gone? Yeah. But if you say you don't, because I have cases where some people have called it back saying, hey, you know, I kind of like having the demon around me, and it's come back
mm-hmm.
because this is something that you wanted, and I can't help you after that because you've given it consent, and you're not giving me consent, so I'm wasting my time, and it won't work.
Yeah,
everything I do will come to naught because you've given it consent, so I have no power over it.
Sure,
at this point, so yeah, but those are the sort of things that will happen with people that are not prepared.
When you get a call sometimes and you know, somebody says, I think my loved one is possessed. Obviously, you know, there's many cases where they're not. But what were some of those calls that you've gotten where someone is kind of making that accusation out there where it did turn out to be that was the case, that they were just witnessing on their own before you got involved, just around the house, that made, you know, a husband, a wife, a brother, sister, whatever, look at the other person and go, this is not normal. This is more than, I think, a mental illness or something. What were some of those things that they said to you that made you go, I got to check more?
Yeah. Well, most of the time it's usually anybody that's demonically oppressed or whatever, mm-hmm. We'll call out for help. We'll say, look, you know, I'm not feeling good. You know, things in their life start to be will be affected. They start fighting with their spouse when, you know, they never fought before. Mm-hmm. They start seeing their children get involved in things. It could be drugs. It could be all kinds of other things. It could be problems at work. Believe it or not, it actually affects your entire your whole life around you. They're trying to destroy you and everything around you. Your job. It will affect your job. Oh, I lost my job today. I have no idea. They just laid everybody off. I came to work. My boss.
What is the breaking point, though, where someone can say, you know, because we've all had bad times. We've all gone through tough spells, sure, where it seems like almost everything is going wrong for a little while. But what is the point where one can identify the difference between, it's just, you know, my luck is really bad right now, or I've made some bad decisions, things like that, versus this doesn't seem to stop, or there's something else going on here?
Yeah, well, it really is individualized. I mean, I've had some people just call me up, some crazy people will call me up and say, oh my God, you know, I just lost my job. My girlfriend broke up with me. I think I'm possessed. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You know, and then I've had other people will call me up and, you know, a family member say, you know, I think there's something wrong with my mom or my dad, you know, and then we'll come in and we'll visit again. And I need to know your mom, your daughter, your son is both concerned about you. What's going on? And then I start doing my little thing where, you know, I kind of start putting little bugs and seeds out, and I kind of see how they respond. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard. I mean, I take every case very individualized. I've had a mother call me up and say, little Johnny is just, you know, he's just really angry. You know, he's just really angry. I don't know what's wrong with him. And you know, something's, you know, he might have been out doing some Ouija boards or seances with his buddies, you know, or whatever. But now he's home, and now, you know, his mother says, this kid is always nice. I don't know what's wrong with this kid. So then, you know, I will then, you know, that's the breaking point, is when he starts seeing something that really is really unusual or very out of character for that person. You know, I mean, like, you know, my husband never ever struck, you know, kind of thing. He's 20 years marriage. He's never even raised his hand at me. You know, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, there's like, you know, a whack, you know, with a hand. And so it's, sometimes it's just, okay, there's something not right here, you know, mm-hmm. and you care enough about the individual that you want to see some to sort of check it out. Now, it could very well be that this person's changed, and, you know, it could be characteristic. It could be mental health. I know schizophrenia can really look like a demonic depression. You're talking to spirits, or you're talking to other people, you know, and it can really appear as being demonic,
sure,
in nature. But there are ways to know whether it is actually mental health and when it's not. And you know, that's a long discussion for how that works, but there's training for that. And, mm-hmm. and I've taken that training. There's some courses at the Vatican I've taken that actually help determine, you know, how do you figure out if it's actually mental health or it's not? Mm-hmm. And of course, I might get, but that's why these things sometimes take 3 months,
yeah,
to investigate. It's not like I'm going to go in today and have an answer for you by the end of the night.
Sure.
I'll have to call your doctor or do whatever. But it's just, you know, if the breaking point is that someone has just had enough and they don't know what's going on, and they're just sort of beside themselves, and they can't seem to reason with the individual. And then, of course, the entire family unit is starting to break down, which, of course, is you know, indigenous of exactly what the demons and devils want to do, is ruin the family unit, right? This is God's created the family, you know, and this is where the attacks are. It's not just necessarily on the individual, but on the entire family unit. So it just depends on what's going on. So then I have to go in and figure out, okay, well, what's been going on, and have they dabbled in anything? And then, of course, if it's a child, for example, I've had the mother, I said, here, I want you to start cooking with holy oil, because, you know, it's olive oil. You can put it in your salad, whatever. You know, take some religious holy sacramental metals and sew it into the pocket of their jacket, and see if they'll wear the jacket. They won't wear it. You know, all of a sudden, hey Johnny, you're not wearing your favorite jacket anymore. Nah, it's okay. I don't want to wear it. I'll wear something else. So it's like they don't even realize they're doing it, but it's like that particular demonic thing just doesn't want little Johnny wearing, you know, that jacket that mom just sewed in, you know, a crucifix or a blessed, you know, miraculous metal or whatever it is. Cooking with exorcism salt. You can cook with it. You know, it's still salt. You know, I was going to put some salt in the food, and he won't eat the food. Put two things in front of him, one with salt and with the exorcism, and one without. And don't tell him that you're doing this, obviously. and see what the reaction is. Putting the salt underneath the mattress in the bed. All of a sudden, little Johnny does not sleep in his bed today, or tomorrow, or the next day. I want to be on the couch watching TV. The little kid doesn't even know he's doing it.
Sure.
The person or the individual. But that's one way of knowing that, you know, there's an affliction to this. And they don't want to be a part. They whatever's inside them doesn't want little Johnny to be near that. So this is where I kind of figure, okay, there's something going on here. This is my cue. Okay, now it's changing behavior based on what I'm doing, right? And then I got to get down to the bottom of things. Then I would hopefully can speak to the person and say, okay, what's been going on? And normally I can get it out of them. Like, a woman I know, I met, she years ago, years, this is a few years ago, actually. She says, you know, when I was young, about 20 years ago, I used to do this called this magic writing. That's another thing that people do that I don't encourage, but sure. It's like the Ouija board in a sense. Well, you get a magic pen and you just sort of like, you know, okay, you call upon me, you conjure whatever, spirits, whatever. It could be a demonic, you know. You don't know what you're conjuring when you're conjuring, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like buying a Kinder toy. You don't know what you're going to get when you open up that chocolate bar.
Yeah,
you know,
sure,
you know what? You don't know what toy you're going to get. So again, you're conjuring something up for whatever reason. And then you don't know what you're going to get. You could actually get the devil itself. But, you know, she was taking the pen and she was writing stuff and she was doing this journaling and she was getting all kinds of answers and sort of this premonitions and all those, whatever. She dabbled in that. And, of course, at some point she let it go. And then throughout the year, she lost her job, two marriages, just a whole string of just bad, bad things happened in her life. So she reached out. That was her breaking point. But it took almost 20 years before she said, you know, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
You know, two failed marriages, you know, a child, and stuff like that. So, I said, well, okay, well, where's the pen? I said to her, oh, I know, I got rid of that pen 20 years ago. I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, that pen is somewhere in this house with you. Well, I've moved three times. I'm telling you that this pen is in this house. I want you to go through this entire house, every creaky corner, and look everywhere. You know, through your boxes, your storage, everything. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, weeks later, she found the pen. Mm-hmm. And then that's destroyed now. So obviously the attack, she used the pen as the meat, as the mechanism, like the Ouija board, right? It's the mechanism. You know, a pen is just a pen. Mm-hmm. But if you use it for a purpose like that, you've given it that sort of energy, that authority, that power to do whatever it is that you were doing. That pen now has that attachment. So that's that pen. It made sure that pen followed her around, you know, and that's part of the physical attachment. There's physical attachment and there's actual literal attachments.
Could the same be said to of base of like using a Ouija board that has been used or picking up a Ouija board that has been used versus one that's, you know, fresh in the box from Parker Brothers or whoever makes it these days? Would a used Ouija board have more attached to it, or could it have things attached to it, just like that pen?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything come from a store, already, like,
sure.
That's what
I'm saying. Like a
position in the box. No, I mean.
No. What I'm saying is versus, let's say you find a Ouija board at a garage sale that's been used versus.
Well, that's different.
Versus picking one up different. At like Toys R Us or something. There's a higher chance of there being something there with that Ouija board that you got at the garage sale.
Right. Well, yeah. That's very evident. I mean, you don't know what you're buying when you buy something used. You know, dolls. You buy dolls. You buy Ouija boards. You certainly.
Because I've heard many say that it's not even the object itself. It's the person or it's the intent, and the object really has nothing to do with it. But you're saying that no. In fact, some of those objects can hold the attachment. Is that right?
Well, no. I mean. You have to believe in energy, right?
Everything
is energy. It can be positive, negative. So whatever I can go out there and buy 100 Ouija boards brand new, you know, still in the wrapper and you know, they're just a piece of wood with writing on it at this point. There's nothing. But what you use it for, the intent you put, whatever intent you put into, you know, like, you know, there's witchcraft, right? I mean, you can conjure up a spell, you know, people will, you know, it could be a bad spell, a good spell. You're trying to change the energy of that particular, you know, from a scientific perspective. You're changing the energy of that particular object to do a certain job.
Yeah.
Like holy water. Like, you know, when I turn holy water to holy water, I'm actually doing a ritual where I'm changing the water from like its substance to give it a purpose. Like, you know, I usually cast you out, you know, demon from this element of water, and you know, and then I bless it, I re-bless it, and make it holy with the exorcism salt sprinkled into it, and I say you'll be a water to do cleansings and to do purifying rites, and, like, you know, it goes on and on, the ritual goes on, and I'm basically telling the water, I'm changing your, you know, I'm elevating your substance, just rather than just being nurturing water, refreshing water, to something that's going to be used for protection.
Okay.
I'm changing the state. And so you can do that, obviously, from an evil perspective. You can do it from a holy perspective.
I totally get that. That does make sense. Yeah. When it comes to possessions and things of that nature, a human being, can they only be truly possessed by something that would be demonic, or can the spirit of someone who was once here alive with us as a human also be involved or possess a living person?
It could. Again, we don't know what you're dealing with. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of people that are very attached to certain homes. You know, their homes. They've been living there for 20 years. They were born in the home. They died in the home. They raised all their families, kids in the home.
Mm-hmm.
The person, we just don't know. I mean, you know, they died drastically in the home. Mm-hmm. They're just attached there. Maybe there's someone got murdered into a home. I've been to homes where there's been suicides and actually murders.
Is that more of an attachment then versus a possession? If that living person who was once living is
it's not really an attachment. It's basically an earthbound spirit that just won't leave its realm.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Plato. In part two, can the spirit of a deceased human possess a person, or can it only be a demon that does that? Why is it that a non-demonic entity would want to attach to a living person? And if something is not demonic, will it be affected by religious relics or commands? And could a person who's not qualified to do an exorcism worsen or even cause a possession where there wasn't one before their involvement? Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.